Well, Merry Christmas, Fairhaven. Great to see you today. I want to welcome our Springboro campus to the south, Northmont to the north, Beaver Creek to the east, Classics is joining us, all of you that are here in Centerville, and all those that are online with us. So really, literally around the world, and we're so grateful to join. Thank you for being here. If we haven't met, if you're a guest with us, you have been greeted in all of our campuses. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors here as well. I serve on the staff here, and I'm so glad to have this opportunity to look at the story of Christmas again, and I'm sure you've read it a million times or thousands of times probably. But it's a great story to continue to remind ourselves every single year. I know you're probably anticipating, as we are anticipating, we have 18 Wonder of Christmas services in the next 2 days, including online. And so thank you for praying about that. Thank you for inviting your friends and family and coworkers. We're really excited. I'm on all of our campuses as we get to celebrate those services. We're really, really excited anticipating that as well. But as we enter into Christmas Day, I just want to say on behalf of my wife, Kathy, and me and our kids, our family, Merry Christmas to all of you. I hope you have a great time with your family and your friends. If you've got no doubt some plans or you're going to get together, we want to just wish you a Merry Christmas and grateful to you. We love you, Fairhaven, and we're so grateful to be able to be here to serve you. And as we look into another year, it's incredible that 2025 is right around the corner, and there's a lot of great things that God wants to do in us and through us as a church. And so we're so grateful for who you are. So Merry Christmas on behalf of all of us. If you want to grab your Bibles with me, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. I know you're going to want to see this because there's some things in this story that, though I know you've read it 1,000 times, I hope to see some things in here today that maybe we haven't seen before, or at least to highlight some things that we haven't thought about in a little while. Has anybody been paying attention to the drama with the drones? Have you seen this on the news? It's absolutely incredible, actually. I really didn't pay much attention to it until it really got like to fever pitch. I mean, all these things about these drones that are all over the place. It's absolutely amazing. I was reading some articles that said that there are 5,000 sightings in the state of New Jersey alone. But there's also sightings in California and other places. I read this article, and this is what the article said. Quote, the article said, social media has played a huge role in the ongoing drama. And my first thought was, no. Social media never does that, right? I mean, yeah, I guess it's, you know, huge drama over social media there. And then, of course, it got to such a huge topic that even General Ryder had to do a debriefing for us at the Pentagon. And he told us, I don't know if you saw this or not, he told us that there are over 1 million people in the United States that have drones. And so that's a lot, seemingly. And that in any given day, there's 8,500 drones somewhere in the skies of the United States of America. What I found really interesting, and this is the reason why I actually bring this up to you, is that some of the people, as they've seen these drones, have said they think it's stars or planets or celestial beings, like maybe angels that are in the skies. And I'm like, well, that would be appropriate. I mean, if it were angels, right? I mean, the Christmas story is surrounded by angels. And as a matter of fact, we've been in this series, if you haven't been with us, called Unto Us, because of what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And Christmas is the reminder that God doesn't give us what we want, God gives us what we need. And so we're celebrating that. And we're doing so by reading the Christmas story and seeing how many times the angels show up. It's absolutely amazing. On the night that Jesus was born, I want you to see in Luke chapter 2 that an angel shows up, but not only just one angel, all of a sudden a host of angels shows up and gives a message that you and I need to be reminded about today, as we're 2 days away from the celebration of Jesus' birth and what that all means to all of us. And so I want to take a look at that with you today. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. If you have a Bible or a device and you want to open them up or power them up, I want you to see this. I want to read it for you, and I want to ask a couple of questions, and I want to look at some things here. I want to make sure that we see exactly what the angel has to say. It's amazing, actually, and relevant to your lives today. In fact, I promise you that if you listen in, and all of our campuses online or right here at Centerville, that if you listen into what the angel has to say, as we read it again, I guarantee you that God wants to say something to you based on what the angel has to say in this passage. Here we go, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. Mary and Joseph have traveled to Bethlehem, right outside of Jerusalem, so it's only about 6 miles away from Jerusalem, and the shepherd's field is actually closer than that, more like 3.5 to 4 miles from, and so they're in Bethlehem, and here's what happens. In the same region, that's Bethlehem, there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, which is what they did during the day, but they also did it during the night, which makes the angel's appearance even that much more frightening. Verse 9, and an angel, singular, if you like to write in your Bibles or highlight, that's one angel. That's going to be crucial to our thinking today. One angel, an angel. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, we're not told who this angel is, but as if you've been tracking with us in this series, chances are this is the angel Gabriel. Let me tell you why. Because Gabriel, as an important angel, was sent by God in order to announce the Messiah. Here's why we know that. Because if you were to look with me in Daniel chapter 8, you would see that that an angel shows up. Gabriel, by name, shows up to Daniel in chapter 8. And in chapter 9, Gabriel shows up by name twice. We also know in Scripture, reading the Christmas story, that the angel Gabriel shows up to Zechariah. We also know that the angel Gabriel shows up to Mary by name. We don't know that to be true with Joseph, but it's probably a pretty good indication because Gabriel's job was to announce the Messiah's coming. So it's probably a good idea for us to think that this one angel that shows up is in fact Gabriel. Verse 9, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said, here comes the message, quote, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is the city that David was born in, a city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this you will find a sign for you, and this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, and I can't give it enough emphasis, and suddenly, I guess I could scream as loudly as I could, and suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem. Now, I have been in this field. I have been where the shepherd's field is. And in fact, many of our Fairhaven family has been there as we've taken trips to Israel. And to go from where the shepherds were in the field to in the city of Bethlehem was not far at all. Less than a mile, actually. So it's really, really close. So when the angels left, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem, let's go down the street here, and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us by the angel. Verse 16, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And I want to ask the question, and maybe you've already asked this question, like how did they know? Like, how do they know that this is the house? How do they know that when they got there that this is the right place? How do they know the address? Because we're not told that. Well, let me tell you, because I've done some research. In the Jewish culture, first century culture, if a boy was born, the local musicians would show up, and they would have huge music and all kinds of singing and all kinds of dancing. So the great likelihood is that as the shepherds went into town, they heard the music playing, they heard that, you know, it was down the street here, maybe to a, you know, to the right there, and that's probably how they discovered. Verse 17, and when they saw it, they made known, that's critical, the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Verse 18, we're going to focus on in just a second. And verse 19, but Mary treasured all these things up, pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, or heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the story, obviously, of the shepherds. It's part of the nativity scene. If you have a nativity in your house, you know that the shepherds play a key role in the nativity. It plays a key role in the story. The fact of the matter is, the question I want to ask is, why the shepherds? Like, it makes sense to me that the angel would show up to Mary. I mean, after all, Mary is going to get pregnant. It makes real sense to me that the angel shows up to see Joseph. Anybody agree with me on that one? Like, it's going to take an angel to tell Joseph, look, this is all about, you know, I did this, don't worry. But why did the angel show up to the shepherds? Like, why the shepherds? Why not the Rome elite? Well, maybe because the Romans wouldn't care. Why not the spiritual elite, like those priests and high priests in Jerusalem at the temple, you know, those that really mattered something, you know, why not there? Well, it didn't happen there. Why the shepherds? I find it interesting, watch this, that the ones who guarded the temple lambs to be slaughtered were the very first ones to see the Lamb of God who would later die. I'm amazed at this idea that God shows up by an angel to the shepherds, the ones who were out in the field watching these little lambs, who probably, when Passover came, were the very lambs that were taken into Jerusalem, only a couple miles away, and then slaughtered as a sacrifice in Jerusalem. And it's no wonder maybe that God sent the angel to the shepherds, because as they were watching these little lambs, they would be the first ones to see the very Lamb of God slaughtered for you and I. That's amazing. But the question still lingers, like, why the shepherds? Because I don't know about you, but I heard growing up that the shepherds were outcasts, that the shepherds were like nobodies, that in fact, the shepherds were even lower than tax collectors because people hated them. They were illiterate, perhaps. They couldn't read, and they didn't really have a real job. I mean, they just watched the animals. I mean, how hard is that, right, to watch animals until you start thinking about all the predator animals that they had to take care of? But they got a bad rap. Am I right, church? The shepherds got a bad rap. And I think part of that's because of Aristotle. Aristotle wrote some really negative things 300 years before Jesus, frankly, wrote some really negative things about shepherds and said, you know, that shepherds were useless and they were untrustworthy and they really didn't have real jobs. Of course, Aristotle was a Greek. He was not Jewish. And so it'd be very easy for him as a Greek to say they weren't educated. They're not a philosopher like we are. And in fact, if you look through some of the rabbi conversations in the Mishnah and in the Babylon Talmud, you'll also see in there that there was a strand in those conversations about the shepherds and how, you know, they were in fact useless and kind of outcasts and so forth. I think the shepherds got a bad rap. Because if you ask the question, why the shepherds, you have to take a little bit of a tour through the entire Bible. Can you just journey with me for about 4, 5, 6 minutes? Let me show you why I think that the angel showed up to the shepherds, not only because of the fact that they were watching little lambs as a metaphor to the fact that they were going to be the first ones to see the Lamb of God. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's just mind-blowing when you think about it. Let me take you on a little tour, because I see all through the Bible, if you were to go to the Old Testament, the pillars of God's people are Abraham and Moses and David. Anybody ever hear these names before? Yeah, you probably have heard these. I mean, these are the pillars of God's people. These are the pillars, the leaders, if you will. What's really interesting is that all three of them were called shepherds. You could turn to Genesis chapter 13, and Abraham would be listed as a shepherd, as he had many livestock and herds and flocks of sheep. You could turn to Exodus chapter 3, and we would see that Moses watched actually his father-in-law's flocks. Jethro was his name. You could see David, who, as we know, is the shepherd boy in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I mean, it was his job, you know, to be a shepherd boy because he was the youngest in the family, which was, by the way, it was typical. If you were the youngest in the family, the youngest son, your job was probably going to be the shepherd, because that was your job to make sure that the family had what they needed there. And so David was a shepherd boy, and David was out in the fields watching the flock and taking care of them, got really good with a sling, and he used that sling to take down a guy named Goliath, ever hear his name? And so all through the Old Testament, we can see that these pillars of God's people were all shepherds. We also see that God in the Old Testament is pictured as a shepherd. In fact, let me just give you a couple of sightings in the Old Testament. I think you know this one, Psalm 23, where David, the shepherd boy, writes this, "The Lord is," see if you know it, "the Lord is my shepherd." I find it really interesting that David could have said the Lord is the shepherd, but he made it personal. He said the Lord is my shepherd, referring to God, referring to this relationship. I don't think David would have used those words if shepherds weren't important and significant to the metaphor of the fact that the angel showed up to the shepherds to let them to be the first ones to see the Lamb of God. Genesis chapter 49, you can see that the mighty one of Jacob, who's referring to God, is called the shepherd. You could read in Psalm chapter 80, where it says, listen to the shepherd of Israel, referring to God. You could turn to Ezekiel, where the prophet Ezekiel is quoting God, and this is what God says. As the shepherd looks for his sheep, I will look for my flock, God speaking, I will look for my flock, and I will rescue them. That's encouraging. That's good to know during Christmas, right? That all through the Old Testament, God is referred to as a shepherd. We get to the New Testament. Jesus is mentioned as the shepherd. In fact, he even calls himself that in John chapter 10, verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. I'm not just a shepherd, I'm the good shepherd, meaning I'm going to take care of you and I've got your best interest in mind. Even though maybe going through something today that seems confusing or something that you didn't anticipate, or something that's happened to you in the last month and you're like, boy, I didn't know where this comes from. I got good news for you. Jesus as the good shepherd is watching over us. Is that good news, church? That's amazing news when you think about it. I mean, Matthew chapter 2 describes Jesus as the shepherd. You can go all through the Old Testament. Matthew chapter 26 says, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Talking about the crucifixion, that the shepherd will be struck down. He will die on our behalf. There's all kinds of things throughout the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 13, 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about Jesus as the shepherd. Here's the one that I really like because we just read about it. Take a look at verse 18 with me. Let me just give this to you. See, the people that heard the shepherds were amazed at what they were talking about. I want you to notice in verse 18, they weren't pushing back on the fact that they were shepherds. They were actually amazed at what the shepherds said. The people were amazed by what they said. Verse 18, let me read it for you. All who heard it, I did some research. You know what the word all means? Yeah, all. That means everybody that heard this, including us today, thousands of years later, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. I want you to notice it doesn't say they didn't really want to listen to the shepherds because after all, I mean, they're shepherds. It has nothing to do with that. I think the shepherds play a key role in the Christmas story, and here's why. Watch this. Because if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, the shepherds are a great example for us. Because here's what the shepherds did. The shepherds, in fact, were those... who, when they heard the message, they shared it. See, those who hear this message are meant to share it. I think that's why it's important for us every Christmas to read the same exact story every single time, to remind us that all year long, as we start a brand new year in just, 2 weeks away, 2025, my role in life and your role in life is to celebrate the Christmas story every single day. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, our lives are meant to share this. You agree, church? In fact, we just talked about it. If you've been around for a month or so, we just went through a series called Embody, and we talked about the essentials of our faith. And one of the essentials of our faith is that we make God known. Christmas is the reminder that because of the shepherds, that we ought to be making sure that this message is proclaimed all throughout our neighborhoods and our workplaces and among our family. It's just that important. Here's why. Because of exactly what the angels had to say. Anybody want to take a look at what the angel said? I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Let me show it to you. This is what the angels said. They showed up to the shepherds, which, by the way, I think are so significant all through Scripture. I think shepherds have a high degree of importance because of the metaphor that we see all through the Bible. And so it's no wonder in my mind that the angels showed up to the shepherds. And then here's the message. Let me read it for you again. Verse 10. Watch this. The angel said, "Fear not, for behold." The word behold means you got to see this. You got to see this. Church, you got to see this. I got to see this. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The angel says this, I bring you good news. Let me put it in words that are very applicable to our own lives today. See, I bring you good news that only makes sense if you experience it. That only makes sense if you live it out. It's only good news if you live it out. So you can know the Christmas story here, but if you don't know it here, you won't live it out. There are billions of people in the next 3 days. They're going to rehearse the Christmas story. They're going to hear it through a reading. They're going to hear it through a song. All over the world, actually, people will be celebrating Christmas. And there's a lot of people that know the story. They know this story. But the angel says, here's the good news. The good news is meant to be lived out in our everyday life. See, I think the reason why the angels didn't show up to the Pharisees is because Matthew 23 tells us that the Pharisees were really good at preaching but not practicing. Yeah, that makes sense. I got a phone call about a week ago from my grandson. And you guys are going to tell me if I talk too much about my grandson, because I love this little guy. There's two of them, actually. His name is Owen, number four. You know, he's 4 years old. And a couple of weeks ago, I got this phone call with my wife, Kathy, and I. We got this phone call. And it's really interesting, the progression that's gone on in our lives. Like, when he was two, he would talk for 20 minutes, and he would want us to read stories. And then he got into three, and the conversations went to about, 15 seconds. And now that he's four, literally sometimes the conversations are 10 seconds long. Like, we call him or he'll call us and we'll talk for just a second and he'll go, okay, Pops, I'm done talking. And he'll walk away from the screen. Like, we're just there. You know, I mean, the screen is there because we do this, you know, FaceTiming and all this. And I look at Kathy and I go, I guess the conversation's over. And so we hang up, you know, because the conversation's over. He's gone. Well, a week ago, he calls and he is upset. And here's why. Because he misbehaved. Now, if you've raised any kids in your life, or you've seen any kids, you know exactly what I know, right? With boys, that happens a lot, right, church? And so here's this grandson of mine, and he gets on the FaceTime, and he says, Pops, my daddy told me that I'm on the naughty list. And so then he's sort of, in his own way, sort of saying, do you think I'm on the naughty list? So I need all of you to email me and let me know, like, what would you have said? I mean, I don't know what to say there, right? I mean, you're on the naughty list. Like, how do you answer that? He goes, Pops, am I on the naughty list? He's asking that question. And so in my own mind, I didn't say this, but I thought about it when I hung up because I thought this would be a great answer. And here's the answer that I wanted to give him. The answer is, yeah, you're on the naughty list. And so am I. And in fact, that's why Christmas is such good news, right? So no wonder the angel says, I bring you good news, that it changes our lives. I hope that you'll reflect on that as we go through this season, that it is in fact good news. It changes everything about you if you don't just experience it, but that you live it out. You invite it into your life and you begin to live it out. But then the angel says this, take a look. The angel says, I bring you good news of great joy that's not merely happiness. How many of you know that there's a huge difference between joy and happiness? Joy is when you and I can have deep-seated contentment, or maybe another way of saying that is hope, because we talk a lot about that here at Fairhaven. Joy is deep-seated contentment in our life, which is far better than happiness. Because I think you know what I know, and that's happiness is often related to our happenings. That if life is not going very well for you, then you're not very happy. In fact, some of us would say the only way for us to be happy is if we're completely in charge. That somehow in our mind, in our human experience, we think to ourselves that if you were in charge or if I were in charge of my own life, that somehow things would be better. We might be more happy. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Because happiness is always directed towards our circumstances. And the angel says something really profound. The angel says, I bring you great news of great joy. Hear this. That means that joy is possible. It may not be easy, but it is in fact possible. That you and I can go through a Christmas season, no matter what your circumstances may have been or are, you can experience great joy because joy is possible. See, in my own life, I've told you a little bits and pieces here. This has not been an easy year. I lost my mother this summer. That was hard. If you've lost a family member, you know what I know. It's a hard thing. In fact, I've had dreams of her lately where I pick her up and she's got a big smile on her face and I miss my mom. We had to put a dog down. Now, if you're a dog lover, a dog animal lover, you know it's not as hard as a family member, but it's difficult when you do that. I've got two very close friends in this church who have lost their spouses, and it's been very, very difficult. And I'm excited to tell you today that the angel is right, that we can experience great joy in our life, which is this deep-seated contentment no matter what is going on in life. I don't know about you, but that's good news. That's really, really good news. And we should probably be reminded about that as well. And then the angel says this, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people, which means that as you live out your life every day, the people all around you need to see this. They need to see this joy and they need to understand this good news because, like I said, last I checked, all means every. It means everyone. It means all people. It means all peoples of all types. No wonder Revelation at the very end when Jesus comes back for a second time, Revelation chapter 7 verse 9 says, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne, before the Lamb. Wow, what a great verse that is. But the angel goes on, here's the message. Don't miss this. Here's the message that the angel says, I've got great news that's gonna bring great joy, and it's for everybody. But here's actual the message. The message is this, that born this day in the city of David is a Savior. What does that practically mean for you and me? That means that Christmas isn't the gift. Good Friday is. Christmas is just a celebration that Emmanuel, God is with us, that he goes through everything that you go through. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows the emotions that you may have. He knows the frustration. He may know the anger that you have in your life. He may know the pain, the betrayal, the hurt, whatever it might be in your life. He understands it because God is with us. But see, the gift of Christmas is not in fact Christmas, it's Good Friday. Because if he's the Savior, he came to die. In other words, the one who will die is born this day. Wow. That's just amazing. That's the message that you and I need to have in our lives today. That we need to be celebrating the fact that we've been given a Savior who takes care of all that separates us from God himself as Savior. The angel goes on and says, the message is this, that born this day in the city of David, we have been given the Christ or Christ. The word Christ means anointed one. It means promised one. It means Messiah. Let me put it in practical terms. Here's what the angel's saying, that God will always do what God says he will do. God will always do what God says he will do. That Christmas is the reminder that you ought to be grabbing onto a promise of God and hold on to it with everything you have because Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He's the one that was promised by God and God came through because God always does what he says he will do. And Christmas, the good news of Christmas is that you can grab onto a promise and take it with you today. Born this day in the city of David is a Savior, the Christ, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh, which means sovereign God. Practically speaking, here's the message, that the chaos of this world is absolutely no match for the goodness of God. You agree with that, church? It's no match. No matter what you're dealing with, if it's hard to understand, it's confusing, you don't like it, the good news of Christmas comes from the angel, and that born this day is the Lord, sovereign God, who promises that though the chaos of this world is all around us, it is no match at all for the one who comes with all of his goodness. What great, great news for us. And then look at verse 13. This is the part I love. It says, and suddenly. How many of you know that one angel is good enough? Gabriel's good enough. I mean, it was good enough for Mary. It was good enough for Joseph. It was good enough for Zechariah. It was good enough for Daniel in Daniel 8 and 9. I think one angel is good enough. Why would we need to have a host? And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. We don't know what multitude is. We don't know if that's 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000. We just know that's more than one. You with me, church? And so because there's more than one, they sing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among all those and with he is pleased. This is a reminder to us. This is a reminder, church, that God frequently emphasizes what he wants us to understand. I hadn't seen that before. This Christmas, as I was studying this and reading this for the 10,000th time in my life, it dawned on me because I was asking, wait, isn't one angel enough? Why do you need a multitude? Well, here's why. Because all through the Bible, God always emphasizes over and over again the very thing that you and I need to understand. So let's try that. Maybe today you need to understand that there is good news for you. Not just here, but needs to be lived out. Maybe today on this Christmas season that God wants to re-emphasize in your life not only this good news, but the fact that there is great joy that's possible for you in your life. No matter what you're facing, great joy is in fact possible for you. Or maybe God is wanting to re-emphasize in your life that, you know what? He wants to use you like the shepherds to tell others about this important message because it's for everyone. It's absolutely for everyone. Maybe that's what God wants to re-emphasize for you in your life. Here comes the question I want to leave with you today, and that's this. What do you need to be reminded of this Christmas? What do you need to be reminded of? I have a feeling that the host of angels showed up because God just wants to re-emphasize what the angel already said. That this is good news of great joy for everyone. That a Savior has come, the Christ, the one who was promised, the Lord, sovereign God in our lives. What I find really fascinating is that the message of the angel can be put together, that when we talk about good news, that when it's lived out in our lives, when that good news is lived out, we can understand that there is a Savior that wants to walk with us and change us from the inside out. When we look at the message of great joy and you realize it's much better than happiness, that can be equated with the fact that God's promises, the great joy is really about the fact that God's promises can be seen in your life. Hold on to them because he'll always come through. He always does. He always has and always will. And the last one that the angel said that it's for all of us, and the reason it's for all of us is because we should be telling somebody. Here's the question. What do you need to be reminded of this Christmas? I'm just going to invite you and all of our campuses just to bow your heads for a second, because here's what I'm confident about. I'm confident that God wants to remind you of something in your life this Christmas. In fact, I wonder that's why we should be reading the Christmas story every year, because we just need to be reminded of these principles and truths and who God is as the great shepherd. Father, I pray that you would speak to every single one of us. But as we go through these next couple of days and we remind ourselves of a story that we've read so many times. In fact, Lord, sometimes if we're honest, we get bored hearing it. And I pray, Lord, that today that our hearts and our minds might become alert, that Lord, in this whole process, that you would remind us of these truths, that no matter where we are in our lives, that Father, we can celebrate you in a whole new way. I thank you, Lord, for your great love. I thank you that you chose to use shepherds. I thank you, Father, that there's good news for us. I pray, Father, that you would give those that need joy, great joy today. I pray, Father, that you would help us to see, Lord, that we do have a Savior in you, that we have a promised Messiah, and that, Father, you are a sovereign God. We thank you for all those truths that we celebrate in our life. During this Christmas season, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen. Amen.